And good morning. It's 16 minutes after 8 a.m. You're tuned to your community radio station, Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Joining me in the studio, I have Shannon Hoagland and Zachary Desmond, both here to talk about radio theater, which is coming up again for the fourth year in a row. Shannon, you are a producer, and Zach, you're a playwright. Welcome to Morning Edition.
Thank you so much.
Well, let's talk about what people need to know for today, and that is that auditions are happening. Shannon, would you like to talk about that?
Sure. Auditions are tonight at 6:30, and also tomorrow at 6:30. You can come to either or both nights. If you're just curious about it and don't know if you want to audition, you're welcome to come. You don't need to prepare a monologue or anything like that. And yeah, just bring yourself. You don't have to have any experience. Good way to get your feet wet.
So scripts will be available for you.
We have a giant audition packet of materials, and you can audition for any number of roles in four different plays.
Well, let's talk about what the radio theater production this year is going to look like. How many pieces are there, and what are they?
Well, there are four plays. One is Pride and Prejudice, and we're using a script from 1947, and they are able to fit Pride and Prejudice into about a 20-minute play.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it is. It jumps around quite a bit. And Mr. Collins has a bigger role than I remember him actually having in the, you know, original movies and the original book. And then we have a play called For Business Reasons, which is one we found, a group of us found just combing through a bunch of scripts. And it was one of those plays where it just was working really well at a table read. And so one of the directors picked it up. Then we have a play called Milktown 1999. And that is by the man sitting next to me here, Zach Desmond.
And I'll talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah, that sounds good. And then I don't think Rebecca has a name for her play yet, but Rebecca Polson has written a two-page play.
So four pieces. And you're looking for anywhere between 10 and 30 actors. And what's required to be a radio theater actor?
I think it's like being willing to express a character through voice. So you don't have your body to use when you are acting. Being able to create a character, having some flexibility to respond to what the director is kind of looking for as well. And it's being willing to, like, if a director says, do you want to read for this part, the answer is always yes. You don't say, oh, I'm not really interested in that role. I think just being flexible and adaptable and willing to just take risks and look like an idiot. And sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. But I think it's all about trying. It's about trying and, I don't know, not being close-minded about how you think something's it's supposed to sound or how you're supposed to sound.
I think it can be a good entry point, too, for someone who's interested in theater, but maybe is feeling a little uncertain about it. Zach, you're nodding your head.
I am. Yeah. I know that last year I actually participated in one of the radio plays, and it was fun to connect this. I had had some theater experience, but it is a whole different world when you're talking about just the way you communicate with other people with voices, and I think that the missing ingredient that I would include there, Shannon, is just the willingness to have a lot of fun as you're working on pieces, and there is something special about like collaborating with people in this way of through this one specific medium. People are going to hear us, so how can we like totally bring our whole voices into this work?
How do you create an entire world with sound alone?
Yeah. Right. And it's you're communicating with people you're not really looking at. So in the play, yeah, we will be looking at each other while we're reading for the rehearsals. But in the play, it looks more like reader's theater, where you have a stand in front of you and you're looking out at the audience. The audience has a few visuals. And then there's a sound effects team that kind of rounds out the whole play.
So it's worth noting, I believe that you do the theater actual live production, and then you also do a radio broadcast.
That's right. We do radio theater like no one else I've heard of does with a live audience. I mean, I just have never heard of it done this way before. Usually radio theater is done in a studio and it's closed environment, and you have the sound effects team off in the corner, and for this one the audience gets to see how the sausage is made. And I think that's really important. I think that's a huge amount of entertainment for the audience to see. You know, our sound effects team, led by Mary Beth Paloff, just kind of what she uses to create the sound of the ocean, or what she's using to create the sound of a bus. Or, you know, we have an actual hand siren that we use when necessary. We have a, you know, we have a door, a small door that opens and closes. It's been in every single production. It's probably our most consistent actor in all of our radio theater productions.
So it adds another level to the audience's experience, you know, engaging with this production on a whole nother level that most people aren't expecting or used to.
Yeah, I think it would be really boring to sit in a studio and... You know, I think the audience adds to each other as well. It's like you're watching a show with an audience. It's different from listening to the radio at home. And then people who don't go to the production can get that experience at home. And the sound at the PAC is so good, the sound equipment. And then we have a Raven Radio representative that comes in and does their magic and produces the piece for radio.
So, Zach, you wrote one of the plays. You performed in radio theater last year for the first time. Did that inspire you to write a play for radio?
It did. Actually, it really did. I think I had a lot of fun. Again, it was this element of working really hard on one particular facet of your performance. You're working on your voice, and you're doing a lot of voice work, and you're thinking that that's the most important thing. And then the star of the show happens to be the entire sound team. And there was something really fun to me about, I had done a little bit of playwriting before, but nothing ever for radio, and nothing that was built around this singular quality or element of how do you, if you had an entire team dedicated to the creation of an aural world, what would you do? And that was a question that really inspired me. I just had a really fun time creating my little Milk Town. It's called Milk Town 1999. And it takes place in Milk Town, which is this little small town dairy hamlet that's kind of fading. And it's like the whole town is trying to figure out how to turn things around. And things start to go missing. So, of course, you have your youth team detective investigators getting together to try to solve this mystery. So it's kind of this like farcical little detective parody, but in a world that I get to flesh out in all these fantastic, fun ways that you wouldn't get to if we had to build sets for a disappearing hat shop and an underground cavern.
Okay, so take one of those, the hat shop or the underground cavern, and describe for us how you went about building this world for someone's ears.
Well, it had a lot to do with the other thing that I always struggle with in writing plays is I love like movement. I love people going from place to place. And the financial constraints of many plays make it impossible to like switch sets dramatically, like, oh, we're now going underground. And so what I got to do actually is just like find different ways that the sound team could and they'll kind of flesh this out themselves, but it was like, okay, we're traveling now, and so we have a lot of like fast walking, and then we're all of a sudden in a cavern, so there might be like tunnel sounds as their voices change, like going down this tunnel. And it was little things like that that made it. I have a whole scene that happens in the dark, which is fun because the audience is literally in the dark the entire time. So I just had fun, I guess, allowing my imagination to just pour into pour into the darkness, I guess, and allow the sound to be what paints this picture for the audience. And that was, the disappearing hat shop, unfortunately, doesn't have a noise. They just say, the hat shop is gone. And you have to take their word for it.
Well, you know, and this is really compelling because I think it's likely that people would have a tendency when considering radio theater to think about a lack of possibilities, but you're discovering a wealth of possibilities that may not even be available to you in a traditional theater.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. We have like an entire menagerie that ends up on the stage at one point. So unless you're willing to like donate your owl or your cat to the radio theater, we're going to have to find a way to, bring that possibility to life.
Okay. And that could, I guess we have animals, and we looked at a couple plays with animals, and we were kind of torn whether the actors were going to make the sound or the sound effects team, but sure, it'll all be worked out.
Well, you're looking for actors, and so auditions are happening today and tomorrow. Again, the time and the place if people are interested in auditioning.
6:30 p.m. tonight and tomorrow at the Rasmussen Student Center on the SJ campus. And people can come both nights or just one night. It's good if they're on time. We'll probably do some warm-up exercises and a little introduction to radio theater, what it is, and who the playwrights are and the directors. We have four different directors. Stephanie Ask, Shira, I'm going to pronounce that wrong. Shira, do you have it in front of me? I don't know. I know how to spell it.
Kahn. We apologize.
I always say Kahn. But anyway, and Zach is going to direct his play, and Rebecca Polson's going to direct hers. And yeah, they're all funny, either ironically funny or genuinely funny. I think Zach's genuinely funny. Becca's is genuinely funny. The other two, I think people will get a kick out of Pride and Prejudice, the truncated version.
So you're looking for youth and adults. It's probably worth noting you're not expected to memorize your piece, mm-hmm. if that causes some concern. Mm-hmm. And just go and have fun. And then the production itself will be November 20th. Okay. We're just about out of time. Anything else you'd like to add? Any organization you'd like to note?
Yes. We are part of the Greater Sitka Arts Council. But we also have a major sponsorship from the Sitka Fine Arts Camp.
Wonderful. Well, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Shannon Hoagland and Zachary Desmond. Tryouts are today for Radio Theater.